brought to you by Crew Love, blending wine and hip hop at the highest level.
Wine and hip hop, wine and music. Yo.
Turn me up, bro. You know what it is?
Check this out. Oh yeah.
You'll be the life of the party.
Wine and hip hop really mirrors the conversations that we have in my office about wine and music. Yeah, what's up, y'all? It's your man, Jermaine Showtime Stone, a.k.a. the Wolf of Wine, a.k.a. the Zara Vibes, a.k.a. Young Thanos. I'm just out here collecting Infinity Stones. We got a Super Bowl champ in the building. We got Mr. 40 Under 40 in the building. We got Will Blackman, man. Will, thank you for joining us.
No, I appreciate it, man. I was, as soon as you hit me up, I'm like, no question, man. I love seeing people win, man. I love just supporting people, man. So yeah, this is a no brainer, no doubt.
Dope, man. Well, thank you for joining us, man. Like, this is, you know, especially a privilege for us to have you on. You know, I definitely have a ton of questions. I know the streets want to hear from you. And you know, you coming from being an NFL player into the wine game, and not just coming into the wine game, but like, I feel like the wine community has really, really accepted you, and you have wholeheartedly dug in. What has that experience been like for you, especially being named as one of the 40 under 40 for 2020 by Wine Enthusiasts? What does it feel like for you to be recognized and so well received by the wine community?
No, I think it's massive, man, because any field I enter, it's more important to it's more important to be respected by your peers. You know what I'm saying? Like, I appreciate, you know, fans or whoever who admire whatever I do, but I think it's really important to be respected by your peers. You know, that's how I saw it playing 12 years in the NFL, you know, and the way I can judge that is to this day, I haven't burned any bridges in football. I still have a lot of connections, a lot of friends in the front office, on the field. But in terms of the wine space, man, it shows that people are witnessing that I'm actually taking the time, not witnessing, people have found out that I'm actually taking the time to appreciate and understand the craft, the art, the viticulture. Like I just took my WSET 3 exam the other, you know, a few weeks ago. Took my CMS 1, you know, a couple years ago. I just finished, you know, I entered the wine business. Sonoma State has a wine business program, and took me 2 years, and I just finished it the other day.
Wow.
And I'm literally in this office just grinding the whole time. So I think just putting that work, it's showing that I'm not here as in like, okay, here's this NFL guy in this space just talking about wine and what have you. He's really trying to do the homework and appreciate the viticulture. So I think that's where it came from. So it shows that right now I'm on the right path. I'm nowhere near to get the 40 and the 40, I thought, which, you know, maybe a little premature, but I'll take it. You know what I'm saying? I think just, but I was moving pretty fast, I guess, in this space, you know? And so I'm honored. I thought that was a super dope, man. And congrats to you on that as well too. So thank appreciate you. That, man.
Nah, man. Like you said, man, I just feel like the timing in the industry is right. You know, you came in, you popped it off. Like how much has your mentality from sports come into how you're approaching wine? Because you're taking it very seriously. You're like studying this like game tapes, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like how much of your mentality from sports is coming into what you're applying it into wine?
Well, first and foremost, man, it's, you know, when I played in the league, it wasn't a hobby. Like that was my life. That's what I wanted to do, you know? So when I came to this wine space, again, I want to like continue to harp on the narrative that like I'm not here, like this isn't like a hobby. This is the rest of my life. You know what I'm saying? Like I really want to make this thing happen. So I look at it like this, like, you know, what is a passion? You know, a passion for me is like the days that suck, the days that are tough, am I still willing to go through it? You know what I mean?
Right.
Do I care? Yeah. Do I care about it that much where I want to continue to work? You know, the days where there are no sales, there are no calls, there are no emails, nothing's wrong. Like, and I probably had a month that was like that where nothing was popping off for me. And I'm like, damn, dude, but you know what? I want to make this work. You know what I'm saying? And that's if anything, that's the mentality I did take from football is being resilient, being able to persevere, being able to handle adversity. Cause it's not going to be all, you know, all peaches and cream and gravy, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
Same thing in terms of you know, I got into a, I didn't say I got into a situation, but playing football, you get all kinds of crazy drama from like the fans and whatnot, like right. seeing all kinds of stuff. And it, even now, I remember I just recently, right, I posted up and it was due. I was like long overdue for this, but I posted a bottle of Meiomi, you know what I'm saying, on my page. Mm-hmm. And I the reason why is because I appreciated how, you know, Meiomi came from the Camus family and the Camus family, you know, 70s. And all of a sudden, because of that brand, Joe Wagner, the son, created Meiomi, ended up selling Meiomi for 315 mil to Constellation.
Right.
I thought that process was pretty cool. And so I know how people feel about Meiomi and like other wines, like in that space, even Constellation. So people jumped in there calling me like, first of all, he called me a sellout, which I thought was hilarious. You know what I'm saying? And just going in on it. But that's something too, again, like I know like the true essence of how I stand and where I am with things like that. And to answer your question, like I took all those qualities from the football here, like all the drama, all the noise, adverse, all like the tough mindset versus, you know, people would think like, oh, he's competitive in this market. He's going to, you know, fight and do whatever. I was like, no, I'm just, I have endurance, man. I'm ready for whatever. So I'm enjoying it, man.
Dope. Well, you know, it's wine and hip hop, man. So we got to get into the hip hop. What songs are you vibing to right now?
Bro, listen. I just got that Benny the Butcher. Woo! And Harry Fraud.
Yeah, I don't showboat, you niggas know though. Me and Bono, minus Gina, we like Tony and Manolo. Your dough showed us Frodo. I'm at the register, like, what's the total? Since I kicked in the door, I've been in go mode. She asked the same question, like,
why you never smiling in your photos?
The same reason Bobby went solo. This text shoot a slow-mo. I'm tipsy riding shotgun in a Volvo. My shit punch like Miguel Cotto.
Let's go.
Who went from whipping soft O's to late night talk shows? That getting frail. I get the mail
with that. That shit is crazy.
Oh, man.
Benny's going off on there.
Benny, girl, I'm telling you, it was, I was with my homeboy yesterday and I was like, bro, this is like 98, 97, yeah. 99 hip hop, like real street, just bars all day. So Benny the Butcher is what I'm on like right now.
Yeah.
In terms of the hip hop, but musically, I can appreciate anything. I like everything. I'll listen to anything from house to, you know, R&B to pop, whatever. I like all music, but literally the last thing I have been listening to like on a consistent basis is the new Benny the Butcher.
That Benny is hard, man. Like Benny, he's really like a breath of fresh air in the industry. Him, the whole Griselda, like Conway the Machine is my favorite rapper right now. But it's like you said, bro, it feels like 1998 and it's so difficult to recreate that vintage feeling.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people try, but like, with the bars, Benny's definitely able to accomplish that. Like a friend of mine, he said, it feels like there's never any barbecues upstate where they from. It's so gangster.
Right. It's know? Like they, like everyone's always on the corner, man, at the bodega, bro. It's just, that's it. A bag of 3D Doritos and a juicy water, man. That's juicy juice.
Word.
Nah, exactly. I feel you, man. What you been on?
Oh man, I definitely been rocking that Benny a lot. I'm gonna keep it real with you. I've been listening to a lot of Moneybag.
I respect him a lot. It took me a minute because it, you know, I was like, let me listen to the dude. But yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, man. He like, I can tell that he kind of has a deeper way of looking at shit. Like he's definitely a trap rapper. But when he said this line, Watch your mouth while I fly out your bitch to a place that she ain't no exist. Like, I just feel like that's my shit. I like going places on vacation that people don't really know about,
right.
You know, and the fact that his mind is there, it just, you know, that's how I want to feel. He puts me in that mentality.
Yep.
So that's my rap spirit animal right now. We ask every one of my, you a wine dude now, so I got to treat you like my wine guests. You know, so on every episode, I try to introduce the hip hop fans to my wine people. Now, everybody knows you already, but they don't know your hip hop spirit animal. So if you could choose a rapper that embodied your style and your spirit, what rapper would that be? Like, who's your rap spirit animal?
My rap spirit animal, man. You know what, though? It's I got to go with the woo, bro.
It's 22 long hard years. I'm still struggling. Survival got me bugging. I'll be back the shape of the streets to stay awake to the ways of the world, cause shit is deep. I'm in with the dream with plans to make cream, which fail. I went to jail at the age of 15, a young buck selling drugs and such, who never had much.
destination. Handcuffed and back of a bus. It's woo because here's the thing. This is the deal, right? So coming out of the draft, you know, I played so many positions, right? I played so many positions where it gave me a lot of value. And then when I played in the NFL, same thing. I played 12 years. No, I wasn't like a grand superstar, but I played 12 years. I was a starter because I was able to play multiple positions. Like I had a lot of value. And now even in the whole wine space, it's like, yeah, I'm in the wine world. I'm talking about wine, but it's lifestyle. So I can talk about lifestyle. I can talk about fashion. I can talk about wine, sports, spirits, cigars. It don't matter. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's like the woo, bro. Like there's a lot of dudes in there with different styles, you know, that created that one brand. So that's kind of, it's so funny. Cause this is on the spot. I did not know you were going to ask me this question. So I'm trying to think, how can it not who my favorite is, but I mean, who's my favorite group, but just them, just overall, just like, there's so many different aspects in that group. And I feel like that's me, man. It's like all these different things I could do, but then you snap back and it's like, it's woo, you know, it's that group. So that's me.
I gotta say, and you know, I don't want to offend any of my prior guests, but that might have been the most fire answer to that question I got. My man picked non-spirit animals and brought it all into one. That's the illest shit I ever seen, man.
Listen, so, 40 of us in back of a bus, baby.
Word. You know what? I gotta send you a bottle of Licata. That's Raekwon's new sparkling Lambrusco. I gotta get you a bottle of that, man. Since you fucking with the woo,
Lambrusco and Buffalo wings. That's what I do, man.
Whew, there it is, man.
There's your free game.
Exactly. Is there enough German wine in your life? Aside from some of the most incredible Riesling on this earth, Germany is the third largest and one of the most acclaimed producers of Pinot Noir in the world. There, the grape is known as Spätburgunder. Discover more about German wine at GermanWineUSA.com or on social media at GermanWineUSA. But yeah, man. So where did you grow up? Did you grow up on the West Coast or the East Coast?
Yeah, I grew up on the East Coast, man. I'm from Providence, Rhode Island, man. That's where I'm from. Born and raised. Went to school in Boston. My family, my mother's side is in Rhode Island in Boston. And my father's side, they're all in Harlem and Queens. So a lot of trips up there on the, you're going to laugh, bro, on the Fung Wah, baby. You know nothing about the Fung Wah,
man. Hell yeah. Where do you catch that at? Right over
Canal,
there.
Canal Street. Yeah. Yep. Canal Street. $10 direct to Boston. They made one stop, I think, to Fuddruckers or something like, or Roy Rogers made one stop. And the best part is, bro, is like when you took the Fung Wah and when we stopped at like Roy Rogers, something like that, and they beeped the horn one time, if you didn't get on the bus, they left.
So you. You lost your money.
But the thing is, you got to Boston or New York so fast. They drove those buses like a Corolla. Grew up in Providence, man. And that's you know, born and raised out there, man. So that's, I'm East Coast through and through. But yeah, I live in Cali now. I've been here for about, I've been here since 2008. So yeah, my wife is from out here, and then I met her out here, and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, that weather.
I'm not leaving. It costs a grip, but we're not leaving here. No way, man.
Nah, man, I can't front on that weather. And you know, you really spent some time up here. If you know about that bus, and you know how they whip that bus, I know you got some stories, man.
For real. Just sit on that bus. I got in. It was me and this lady, and she had a whole cage of chickens right next to me on that bus.
And hey, the funny thing is they let her in with that, and that was okay.
So you know, she was like she was in the back, so she was the first on the bus. When he opened the door, he saw them, man, go ahead and get back there. Give them $10.
Yeah, man. Yo, you know, one thing, another thing I think a lot of people are interested to know, man. Now, I seen a Harlem Shake the other day, man.
Yeah,
I seen you bust down some Harlem Shake the other day. Now, did that come from the touchdown dancing days? Like what came through? What G-Dep spirit just hit you that you was like, yo?
Oh, right. Like I pulled that one from the vault. I know. It was like, G-Dep. Oh, hold on. G-Dep.
I was like, yo, I had to ask, man. Was that inspired by touchdown dances, or was it just like, yo, I'm out here doing my thing?
You mean like when I put the video up?
Yeah, when you put the video up. Like, nah,
I don't know. I'm not really putting this because I think it's hilarious. I just want people to relate. Like,
right.
Am I the only one who's out of Harlem Shake shape? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how my thought process rolls.
You're the only person on this show that I can ask this question, man. What does it feel like to win a Super Bowl? Like, and do you really go to Disneyland after? Like, what happens? Like, how does that feel?
Yeah, you know, it happens so quick, man. It's weird. It's first of all, it's such a long week because you practice the week before. That's where you really get the work in, because when you go to the Super Bowl, ours was in Super Bowl 46 was in Indianapolis. That whole week is all press and media stuff.
Yeah.
So you're just like reviewing and walking through and just going over. You can't really get like a full practice in to concentrate. So all that went by. It was such a long week. All that went by so fast. And then just playing a game, it was just, you know, for that 60 minutes, it was kind of, you know, just like a movie. And then to actually win it, it's wild, because here's the thing too. My situation was unique because I got drafted to the Green Bay Packers, right? And I was there for 4 years.
Right.
And it's kind of like the fourth year we were ready to go as a team. Like, this is the year we're about to go win this shit and let's do it. And I ended up getting hurt the year before. I never got healthy. So they actually cut me the year 2010. That's the year Green Bay won the Super Bowl. Like, I was supposed to be on that team.
That's crazy.
Oh, it was awful. Like, seeing
all my friends. So, like, what did you say to yourself? Like, what was your mood after seeing that shit happen?
My thing was like, I need to find a way to get healthy. You know, I'm still pretty young and I need to find a way. And it sucked too. Like, I got cut that year. My wife was 7 months pregnant. And then it was just.
Yo, awful. Everybody goes through shit, man. People like see success, but they don't know what a motherfucker had to go through to get there.
Bro, like, it took me like 3 surgeries to get my knee right. So anyhow, I ended up going back. I ended up getting signed by New York. Played 2010, just a little bit. And then they brought me back in 2011, and that's the year we won the Super Bowl. So Green Bay won 2010. I came back with New York and won 2011. So it was even more like sweeter for that reason. But after that, it was just an absolute blur. I just, you know, people like, what you do in the locker room? I was like, bro, I just remember going back to my locker room and I was hanging out with like Seal and Heidi Klum. They were just chilling.
That's crazy. That's wild. What did y'all drink, man? What did y'all toast?
Okay, here's the thing too. I don't remember what I had, because even at this point, I was still learning. You know, I never kept record of like brands or what I had. I don't think I even had anything, but I just got into cigars maybe about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And I'm like, damn, bro, I was missing out. Like, I can't, but the two times I should have had a cigar, dog, my wedding and the Super Bowl.
Word.
And I didn't have them. So I was like, man, I wish I had them then. But I don't remember. Like I said, it was such a blur, because not only you have the game, but like I said, the media stuff, is your family okay? You know, in this case, I have my father, I have my brother, I have my wife, I had our son. Like, everyone is here. I had to make sure everyone was straight. There's so much coordination that I honestly did not have time to relax until we got on the flight back home to New York. So it was crazy, man. It was pretty dope.
That's wild. And were you into wine at that time?
Yeah, because I got into wine when I was in Green Bay, which I was there previously. You know, that's what really got me going, was the wine. And, you know, my part of my story was, you know, having wine with Charles Woodson, you know, because when I got drafted, that's the same year he got signed to the Green Bay Packers. And he would always, every away trip, he would always take the defensive backs out to dinner. We go to a fire restaurant. He orders some, you know, dope wine. And for me, it was interesting because I was kind of low key afraid to drink wine around other guys on the team, just because, you know, it's wine. You know, I was in Green Bay. It was beer. All my dudes loved Hennessy, you know, cognac and stuff like that. No one really talked about wine. So to find out, like, okay, Charles Woodson not only drinks wine, but he has his own wine label. He has his own tasting room in Napa. Like, he's full fledged in the winery. I thought it was super cool, not only to have a guy who played football like me, but a dude who looked like me too. You know, was African American in that space.
Right.
So him taking us to all these, you know, restaurants and what have you, really sparked my interest to want to know, but I felt more comfortable to want to keep indulging in the information of wine. Because for me, man, wine was never, it was never, ever, ever about lifestyle. It was never like, I'm balling, got pinky up, rolling. It was never about, even though that's fun. I love going to wineries. I love drinking champagne. I love all that stuff, man. But right. I was so curious, like, how the fuck do they make this taste different in California and taste different in Chablis? Like, why are these two Chardonnays different? You know what I'm saying? So that was my curiosity. Well, how come, why in Burgundy they don't put the damn grape on the bottle? Like, I have to guess what it, I have to know based on the region. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
But I was curious. That's how it was. So that's kind of what happened with me, man. So I've been into wine for a while.
And look what that curiosity sparked, man. The wine MVP. Yo, just wanted to take a sec to give a big shout to my people at Wide Roots Imports. The role of a good wine importer is to tell the story of the land that the wines are from. Wide Roots does that in a very judgment-free way. They're an educational resource for people that are new to wine, and if I'm rocking with them, you know they keep some fire on deck. Right now, bringing in wines from Spain and Italy. For more info, go to WideRootsLLC.com now. You know, now how did that, how, tell us a little bit about the wine MVP and how that started.
Yeah. So like most athletes that are doing it now, man, I wanted to have my own wine label. That's what I first started. That was the plan. And then I started doing a lot of, you know, research and talking to people, and like any product, right? You can have the best grapes, the best vineyard, the best winemaker, whatever it is. At the end of the day, can you sell the product, right? Can you sell the wine? And I'm like, all right, well, I started hanging out at wine shops for hours just to see what people are buying, to see what things are priced, see what things cost. And it kind of dawned on me, like, man, I have such a unique network in terms of like people I know in the celebrity space, people I know in the athlete world, you know, all these people. I was like, I could just be like the middleman for them. You know, everyone's always asking me about stuff for advice and what to do. You know, I'm better off just doing like a concierge, kind of like being a sommelier to the football players or what have you, a sommelier to the athletes. So I was like, I'll just do a concierge, man. That's kind of where it happened. And initially, I started calling friends and was like, hey, man, you know, I'm starting to do this. I know you have a cellar, you know, if you need anything, you know, and it, you know, I had to just put my pride down and just call these dudes direct. Like, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. Versus like trying to promote it on social media, because then it would just look like I'm just some dude in the wine space.
You know, exactly.
A football player likes wine, so I was calling my friends direct. You know, out the gate, you know, Reggie Bush just built a brand new cellar, so I did his cellar, and Matt Ryan, Atlanta, his cellar, Justin Tuck. So I started getting a bunch of like people like, yeah, like I actually need wine, especially now it's COVID, everyone's at home. And then I'm like, well, I want to be able to do something for like everybody, because not everyone is going to drop this kind of money for wine. You know, not everyone's going to buy Opus and whatever it is, DRC and stuff like that. Like, no one's going to buy that who really follow me and want to learn. So that's why I was like, man, I want to be able to create like a wine subscription, like a wine club. And I remember an article came out about me in the USA Today about what I'm doing. And that just expedited the whole process. Like, okay, everyone's like, well, what is it? What does one have? Where is it? So I was like, okay, it was actually an NFL wine guy, but I changed it because the acronym NFL, and I probably had to like talk to the league office for licensing and stuff like that. So I just changed it to the wine MVP, which I thought was cool, man. It crosses over to any genre. You can be the MVP of anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
And at this time I didn't have a license. So I ended up partnering with the wine exchange to do my fulfillment. And so they did my fulfillment for the wine club, and that's where I came up with the subscription club, where it's two bottles, you know, and I intentionally picked two bottles that have rich history, because that's how I got into it. So I was like, okay, if you want to learn about it versus me, and I have nothing against private labels, versus me getting a private label, let me actually get you a winery, for example, like Catena Spotswoods, that's been around for over 100 years. You know what I'm saying? Let me get you something like that at a reasonable price that has like rich history. So that's how it came to what it is now. Now I'm getting into, I'm starting to get into the hospitality. So like guys would want to go to Napa or Paso or Bordeaux. Then, you know, they call me and, you know, I set it up or we set it up for them. So I'm getting to that space now and got some really cool strategic partnerships coming up. And then, yeah, there's going to be some crazy stuff happening soon. You know, it's like I mentioned, I know people they look at me and try to categorize me in the influencer box. And again, nothing against them. I think this is a great way to make money or whatever it is, but I'm trying to do more than that. Almost like more of a, like a per, like a lifestyle, personality, you know?
Right.
And because I want to clear this too. I never call myself a wine expert. You know, I don't do that simply because I know there's people that are way more educated than me in this space. You know what I'm saying? And I'm still learning everything. I never call myself a wine expert because I'm all about like, let's grow together. Let's learn together.
Right.
I'm not better because that's the pretentiousness that I take away. I'm not better than you, man. Now, if you want to call me for advice, I'll give you the best answer I know. Or I host tastings. But even when I host the tastings, it's never like, sure, if guys want to get geeky and saw me and go over the grid and be crazy, then yeah, that we can do that. That's fun. But I never claim to be an expert. You know, I was like, here's a few things that you can take when you go to when you go out for dinner, you know, or when you go out for dinner and they have a sommelier, ask the sommelier.
Exactly. Like, I don't know what they got there.
Yeah. Or no, because I know a lot of people will, you know, if some dude's going on a date, man, he'll like probably look at the menu in advance and, you know, sit down. I've done it before. I would try to look at the menu and try to, okay, I know, but then this is what happened to me. I went to the Polo Bar in New York, right? On Fifth Ave, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. And there was this black dude named Darnell. He was a sommelier there. And I'm going to send you his page, dude. And I remember after we played the Giants, I took my wife there for her birthday. She flew into for the game. We stayed afterwards. We didn't fly back with the team. Went to the Polo Bar, and literally he showed up like suited. I mean, his aura was crazy. And I just sat back. I was like, you tell us what to eat, bro. You tell us what to drink. we just want the experience. He's like, you just talk to your wife. I got it. You know? And bro, I was like, that's what it is. If there's a sommelier, I know I'm getting off track a bit. If there's a sommelier, like, do not, if you want to impress your date, you let them do their job.
Facts. As long, you know, you can spice it up a little combo in between, but it's the truth, man. Like, they intimately know the wine list. You know, they understand the menu. They like, it's what you do. I feel the same way about wine shops. You know, you mentioned like kicking it in wine shops. I'm sure you can also speak to this, but how important it is to have a good wine shop with buyers that you trust. You know, because they're people that's going to put you on to the new shit. Like, there's so much wine in the world. There are people whose job it is to find you the best bottles that they can find. You know, like, trust them.
I'm glad you said wine shop, because wine shops, there's in the morning, they're sitting with distributors all day long. Facts. I used to go before COVID, I used to go to the wine exchange every Tuesday morning or Wednesdays, and I would... all the distributors, we lined up with their suitcases, and I would rip through like 100 wines in an hour.
Yeah.
Trying this. It's like, it's just crazy. So to your point, yes. Like, all these distros are coming in, telling them what's hot, what's good, what's not, what's for sale, what's not, with all this stuff. So you're 100% right.
Yeah. Nah, it's totally true, man. It's really true. Last thing I got to ask you, man, the people always enjoy to know, you know, if you could have a glass of wine with any rapper, dead or alive, what rapper would that be?
Oh, I'm sure everyone said Jay-Z. Gotta be Jay. Yo,
You'd be surprised. Like, for example, mine's is Biggie. Like, versus I would love Biggie? Because
no, that's like, fire too.
I love, yo, Biggie was so advanced, man. Like, Big died at 25 years old, you know, and this motherfucker was talking about being in restaurants where they playing mandolins and violins. Like, I remember when I started working in auction and I started going to restaurants that were moving, like, I'm like, yo, this motherfucker big, man. He was 24 and like seeing all this. So I'm just so, and you always hear about how intelligent he was. I'm just interested. Well,
he seemed fun to like hang with.
Fact. Everybody talks about how funny he was.
Yeah. Like, he seemed super fun. Even, you know, I didn't finish the new documentary that came out, but he just seemed like real fun to hang out with. So yeah. I definitely see that. I don't know. One glass, dead or alive.
That's any, tough. Any rapper, man. And that's, I think, tough. The Jay answer is also a very dope one, man. Like, who wouldn't want to have a glass with Jay?
Well, I'm saying, but just from his entrepreneurial perspective and the beverage game, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I would be so curious for that to see what he does. Man, I don't even know if they're alive.
Biggie's, I'm interested to hear what Hov got up his sleeve in the wine game. Because you know there's more shit. Like, he trademarked the name Hovino. Like, there's something happening. I don't know if it's a wine bar. I don't know what, but I'm very interested to see what he's going to do in the wine space.
I'm still thinking about your question.
Don't worry, man. I'm here.
Like, I love Ye, but he's just crazy right now.
It would be an ill convo.
It would be. I think one on one, if he and I sat over at a glass, because he's probably, if not my favorite artist, is Ye. You know, I love even the stuff people didn't like that much. I just think he's just, if he wanted to, he could. You know what I'm saying? Like, anytime he could. So,
how do you look for Kanye? How do you look past the theatrics and like his see political the artist? Stuff? Yeah, just overall. Kanye's a wild dude. You know what I'm saying? He'd be wilding out. How do you see past that?
Well, because at the end of the day, it's kind of like, what's the product, you know what I'm saying, that I'm looking for? You know what I mean? It's almost like, I don't know, it's kind of like in sports, right? If a dude is a problem or has issues off the field and goes through whatever, but he's winning. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You've probably like, seen this shit a lot.
It's kind of all good, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Tiger came back by winning.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? After all the stuff he went through, you know, speedy recovery to him. But I can see through it because he's still capable of putting together art. Right. You know what I'm saying? He didn't just leave the face of the earth. He's still capable. So
I think a lot of people don't speak about the fact that he's so super rich, but still extremely talented. Like, have you noticed that, like, when rappers start acting and they start getting that Hollywood money, they fall off? Like, no discredit to Ludacris, but I feel like Ludacris as an artist, he's never been the same as soon as he started acting. Like, same thing, Fresh Prince could still spit balls here and there, but as soon as he started rapping, like, his, I don't know, the skill level just changes. But, and I think that it comes down to, like, yo, I don't really need rap anymore, but Kanye don't need the music anymore, and he's still, like, one of the best in the game. So no, definitely a lot of props to him on that one.
Yeah, but I never met Drake. I would love to sit down with Drake.
That would be dope.
Yeah.
Drake is on his wine shit too, man.
Yeah, yep. Yes, he is. He has a sparkling wine, a champagne, I think that's actually.
Yeah. Have you tried it?
I haven't had it yet. Nope.
I haven't had it yet either. I'm dying to speak to someone with a that knows what they're talking about to really get the notes on it. Like, I remember the first time I tasted Ace of Spades, and I'm like, damn, this got some alcohol in it. You know, it got some kick on it, but it's an amazing champagne, man. And I know Drake ain't putting his name on anything that he doesn't think through. Like, yo, this guy was behind Euphoria. He's behind Top Boy. Right. Like, he is a true artist. And like, can you imagine what it's going to be like when he decides to start acting again?
No, right. Yeah, I can only imagine what he has in the works.
Yeah, no doubt. Definitely. Nah, but Drake would be dope, man. That would be a dope convo. So what does the future hold for you, man? What's next?
You know what? Just, I think there's going to be, you're going to see more stuff media-wise, like TV stuff. You know,
dope.
I've been talking to a lot of productions and networks, TV wise. So that's something that has been discussed. And then also too, you know, you're going to see more advanced things with the wine MVP as a business. So that's where I'm spending most of my time, man, is on those two things. Just like I said, my overall personal brand. So I'm very, very, very careful, you know, with, again, who I partner with, who I do things with. And I just want to make sure not just everything is of value, but also it's quality too. You know what I mean? So that's why, you know, you won't see me, you know, posting so many different, you know, wine keys or products or new this or new that, you know, all these things here and there. Just cause I'm being super careful, you know, with what I'm doing. Cause I feel like too, I want to say this too, for just all the wine influencers or in that space, like just be careful in the fact of, you know, if say you do have a certain going rate and you keep doing stuff, let's just say, cause you got a free product, you're doing stuff for free on the low, it's like, well, that can actually devalue, you know?
Facts. Because everybody talks.
Yeah, everyone talks, right? So, like, sure, like, it's great. People can seed you all these free things, all this cool stuff. But then, you know, if they want to buy you for your time, like, you know your worth.
Facts.
And be firm. And sometimes, like in business, man, when you're firm, you're gonna win some, you're gonna lose some. You're gonna see some, you're gonna have some people that are like, man, that's pretty steep. But you know what? Like, let's find ways to like make it work. Where some are like, man, you know, I wanna go elsewhere. You know, let me see this. Let's talk about this. Or I'd rather do this. You know, so my thing is just, you know your worth, man. And if you are gonna be in that space, like treat yourself like a business, you know.
Facts.
So it's interesting, man. So yeah, there's some good things coming up, especially I want to say around the summer. Like I'm really in the lab for real.
Dope. Wise words from the motherfucking man, Will Blackman. That's right, y'all. Pay attention. Wild, definitely tap in, man. Yo, I appreciate you checking in with me, man. This was big. Thank you so much, and congratulations again on all the success, man.
Yo. Yeah, and I mean let's not have this be the last thing, bro. Like, oh, you know, as you saw, like I had, you know, I had Mary J on, you know, musician. I think we're working on Estelle reached out, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's fire.
So I'm getting into, you know, to do live. So anytime, like I said, you want to do lives, we can just music, wine, whatever you need, man. I told you I'm here to see people win. That's what moves me, man. So
absolutely, man. Yeah. And yo, shit, we can do some live shit, man.
That's stuff what I'm saying. Like up. you let me know,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. Nah, we definitely gonna get it together, man. I got a world of respect for you. I love how you treating the craft, and to see what you're doing is inspirational and is dope, man. So congratulations to you. Much success, bro. And this ain't the last y'all gonna see of us, y'all. So be ready. That was another episode of Wine and Hip Hop. Peace.
This was a moment in Wine and Hip Hop, brought to you by Crew Love.